This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What I want to talk about today is the tension between Jesus and the Pharisees and scribes over the law. Now, the law is a vast subject, and we're not going to get into all the different aspects of it on today's program. But I do want to focus on Jesus' emphasis on the written law and the fact that there was a tension he had with the Pharisees and scribes because they were into the traditions of the elders, the oral law, along with the written law. So we want to look at this tension, show you examples of it in Scripture, and help you to realize that Jesus was not doing away with the law. Because some of these Scriptures cause confusion, and people think that Jesus was negative about the law, but far from it. Jesus was there to tell them exactly what the law was, what the true intent of the law was, and specifically the fact that it was the written law, not the oral traditions that had been passed down from Jewish religious leader to Jewish religious leader. So let's establish the fact that Jesus was not doing away with the law right from the get-go. And I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them handy, to Matthew chapter 5. So in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, listen to what it says. Now listen carefully, because even here, he's taking a little jab at the Pharisees, and I'll explain how. Notice what it says, Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now notice this. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now look around you. Is heaven and earth still here? Of course it is. The law has not passed away. The law is still in force. Jesus Christ is saying that. There's no way of getting around that. It's right here in your Bible. But notice how he said this. He said that not one jot or one tittle will pass from the law. Now, why didn't he just say that nothing is going to pass from the law? Why does he put in here not one jot or one tittle? Now, what's a jot or a tittle? If you're looking at modern language today, he's talking about writing. Because when we dot an I, let's say your cursive writing, and you dot your I and you cross your T, sometimes as you're writing, you forget to dot that I or cross that T. So what he's emphasizing here is the written law when he says that the law has not passed away. And the reason he's emphasizing the written law is because many of the teachers of the law in his time believed that the oral law was equal to the written law. And Jesus wholeheartedly disagreed with that, and we're going to see examples of that on today's program. So understanding this tension between Jesus and the Pharisees helps these Scriptures come to life more when we have this background information on this tension that was occurring there between Jesus and the Pharisees. Now, there is tradition that says amongst some Jewish believers that Moses did not receive all of the law from God, that there was oral law that was given to Moses that he later wrote down. But if we look back in Exodus chapter 24, and verse 3, notice what it says. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered and with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning. It says here he wrote all the words of the Lord. So we believe he wrote all that law down, and we have it in our Old Testament, We don't believe that there was this other part of the law, this oral tradition that Moses got from God that was passed down through the teachers from generation to generation. So we're going to look at this question today. We're going to look at this tension. But before we go any further on today's program, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free literature and also a free CD. The CD we want to offer you on today's program is titled, Is the Law Only for the Jews? And in this CD sermon, what I will do is I will take you back to the Old Testament and I will provide you with information that God also wanted His law to be observed by the Gentiles, by other people, not just Israel, not just the Jews. We also want to offer you a free pamphlet titled, Did the Apostolic Church Observe the Sabbath and Holy Days? Many professing Christians believe the Apostolic Church rejected the Sabbath and festivals of the Old Testament and adopted new customs to distinguish themselves from the Jews. But is this true? What does the Bible say about early Christian practice? And you will see by reading this pamphlet, by reading your Bible, that that is not true. God wants us to continue to observe the Sabbath and holy days. Get that pamphlet so you can learn more about that. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. That's www.cgi.org. www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to watch a weekly webcasted sermon. For more information, go to our website, www.cgi.org. Once again, thank you for joining us on today's program. Those of you who have been with us from the top of the show, and those of you just joining us, we're talking today about the law of God, but we're looking at it from a particular angle, and that angle is this. There was a tension between Jesus and what He taught about the law versus what the Pharisees and the scribes taught about the law. And the problem was this. Jesus taught that the written law was the true law. That was the law that needed to be kept. While the Pharisees and scribes believed also in the oral tradition, the tradition of the elders, and there is tension between Jesus and the Pharisees over this point in a number of scriptures in the New Testament. Now, we're going to look at some of those scriptures in the New Testament to see this tension, to understand this tension, and to let you know that Jesus was not doing away with the written law. He was just against the understanding that the teachers of the law had at that time and that place in history. Now, to do this, I want to go to a scripture in the book of Matthew. And this is in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. And we're going to see this playing out. Now, when we talk about the oral law is talked about in different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes it's referred to as the law of Moses. Sometimes it's referred to as the tradition of the elders. So over here in Matthew 15 and verse 1, we read the following. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, let me just say, it says right out, this is the tradition of the elders. But the Pharisees taught this as if it was law also. Now, notice what Jesus says. But He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition." So you see how He's setting this up. Now, I think it's a good idea to wash your hands before you eat. But it's not a law of God. If you don't do it, it's okay. You aren't sinning. And Jesus is telling them, hey, because of this tradition you have, you're going against God's law. Now, how does He explain this? Well, notice further in verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. Now, that's in the written law. That's in the Old Testament. You can find that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And then he says, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Now, again, that's in the written law. That's in Exodus 21 and verse 17. So he's saying, hey, here's the written law, guys. And then watch what he says here in verse 5. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple, is released from honoring his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So what's going on here? Well, here's what's going on. There's this law about your father and mother. And we're all familiar with that law. We all know the Ten Commandments. One of those Ten Commandments is honor your father and mother. But what the Pharisees had set up in their tradition was, hey, yeah, we agree that you should honor your father and mother, but you know what? If you have some extra money and you want to give it to the temple, you don't have to give it to your father or mother. Now, your father and mother may have been in a bad way. In fact, at this time in history, young people took care of their father and mother in their old age. So what the Pharisees were saying, hey, give this money to the temple and you can get out of that obligation of the commandment to honor your father and mother. But you got to be giving it to the temple. If you're not giving it to the temple, then you still got to be obligated to your father or mother. And Jesus is saying, hold on, guys, that's not what the intent of this law was. This law was about taking care of your father and mother. That's what the true intention was. You can't make up this other rule about it so you can feed the coffers of the temple. That's what Jesus was upset about. He was saying the written law still matters, and you guys are misinterpreting that written law and adding something to that written law. Notice how he lets them know it in verse 7. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That's the issue Jesus had. Jesus did not have an issue with the written law. He had an issue with the additional laws that were added through these oral traditions by the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. That's the problem that he had, the law that was not part of the Bible law that we're all familiar with. Now, you can see this tension played out over and over in the New Testament. Another location that we find this is in the book of Acts. And I'm going to show you this in Acts chapter 10 and verse 28. Let's take a look at this. This is probably familiar to many of you. In Acts 10 and verse 28, it says this, Peter saying this, then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So Peter had this vision of the unclean meats, and he was trying to understand it. He was trying to figure out why God was showing them this vision. And remember what Peter said when he saw that vision. I haven't eaten this stuff all my life. And this is after Jesus has died, years after Jesus has died. And Peter's still not eating those meats, which is information or proof that he was keeping the law of God, the written law of God. So now, what does he say about this vision? He says, now I realize it. God is trying to tell me that it's okay to commune with the Gentiles. But here's the kicker. Peter talks about this as the law. But was it God's law not to commune with Gentiles? No, that was not part of God's written law. That was part of the tradition, the oral law that the Pharisees were teaching. And let me prove it to you. Turn with me in your Bibles back to Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 22. Does God's written law say that the Gentiles are someone you should never get involved with, you should never deal with? It says the opposite. Look at Leviticus 24 and verse 22. I'm going to pick it up there. Leviticus 24 and 22, it says the following. It says, then Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and they took outside the camp him whom they had cursed and stoned him with stones, So the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded. Now this is over here in Leviticus 24 and verse 22. Now, right before that it says, "You shall have the same law for the stranger and for one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God." So then what they did was they went and stoned this individual. But notice what it said, you're going to have the same law for one from your own country as one from another country or another nation. God wanted the same law to be observed by all peoples. Now here's more information, more proof of this. Over in Exodus chapter 12, let's pick it up there in about verse 44 of Exodus chapter 12. Notice what it says. "But every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it." Now, when it says sojourner and hired servant, these were usually Gentiles. These were usually people of another nation. Verse 46, "In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones," speaking of the Passover lamb. Verse 47, "All the congregation of Israel shall keep it." And get this, verse 48, "And when a stranger sojourns with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who sojourns among you." Same law for stranger and for the native born. And this is what I'm getting at. The law of God, the written law of God, was the same for the stranger, for the Gentile, as well as the Israelite. We see that example here in the Bible. One other place I want to show this to you is in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 29. Notice what it says there once again, Numbers 15 and verse 29. "You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally, both for him who is native born among the children of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among you." So we see here from the Old Testament law that a Gentile, a stranger, could come and keep the Passover if they committed to God. So when they're keeping the Passover, they are among Israel. There was no breakdown here of relating to the Gentiles. God wanted them all to follow him and believe in him. But we see the example of Peter talking about, hey, the law tells me that I should separate myself from the Gentiles. That's not what the Old Testament law said. That's what the oral tradition told him. And he considered or thought that was his law. God was trying to change that point of view. And he did so finally in the book of Acts through that vision and through that interaction Peter had with Cornelius. So we see here this law about circumcision we read a little bit about in the Old Testament. Now that was a physical act to do what? To show people who they were connected to. They were connected to their God through this physical act. When we move over into the New Testament, we have information on circumcision. And some people will cite Acts 15 and say that the circumcision law was done away. But was it done away, or did we have a better understanding now about the law regarding circumcision? We had a better understanding because you can read in the New Testament that circumcision is now of the heart. Circumcision isn't done away with. When you repent, when you get baptized and you receive God's Holy Spirit, you are now committing to follow God just like they were in the Old Testament through that physical act. So the act of circumcision, the physical act, doesn't have to be done because they explained what the true intention of that law was in the New Testament. Now that's a whole other subject for another day, but I want to go back to the theme we're dealing with today, was this tension between Jesus and his focus on the written law versus the Pharisees and their belief that the oral law was as important as the written law. We're going to see this tension once again over in the book of Matthew, and I'm going to show you this in Matthew chapter 5. Now notice how he addresses them in Matthew 5, and think about why is he saying it in this way. I believe it has something to do with this tension we've been talking about. Notice Matthew chapter 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Now, he's talking about the written law here, you shall not murder. But notice how he says it. You have heard it was said. So he's teaching them and he says, you guys have heard that this was said. Now, who would they have heard this from? They would have heard it from the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the teachers of the law at that time. And so Jesus is taking a little jab here at the Pharisees. He's saying, hey, you guys have heard this said, and it would have been the Pharisees who they would have heard it from. Now notice he does it again in the same chapter in verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. And then he goes in and expounds upon this written law of adultery. He explains it even further and tells them, hey, when you lust for someone, you're committing adultery. Back to the murder one. He says, when you get angry at someone, you are committing a sin because anger can lead to this act of murder. And then further on in the same chapter, verse 31, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife. Then verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely. Now, who would have been teaching them and telling them about these laws? The Pharisees would have been telling them about these laws and teaching them about these laws. And what did the Pharisees do when they taught about the law? They also taught the oral tradition. They added things onto the law of God. Here Jesus is telling them more about the specific written law. He's adding to it because he knows what the true intention of that written law was. And he's comparing this to those who would have heard this, to the Pharisees and how they were teaching this law. Now, how do I know this? As you read further along, go through Matthew chapter 5, go through Matthew chapter 6, go through Matthew chapter 7, because all of this is one teaching that Jesus is doing. There weren't chapter breaks when they wrote this down. And he comes to a summation of all of this. And notice what the summation is by the writer of this gospel, Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28, he's summing this all up. And what's he summing up? He's summing up what we just talked about. When Jesus says to them, you have heard this, you have heard this, but I'm telling you this, I'm telling you this. Notice what the summation of all this is. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. Now, first of all, why are they astonished? Because the Pharisees were teaching something a little bit different. They both believed in the written law, but Jesus says that the written law is it, and let me expand upon the written law for you. The Pharisees said, the written law is okay, folks, but the oral traditions are also just as important. And notice what it says in verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So what's the point of the writer here of the gospel? He's trying to show you this tension. And he's trying to say to you, Jesus is teaching something a bit different in the law than what the religious teachers were teaching the people at that time. Jesus is not doing away with the law. He is the lawgiver. And he knows what that law is all about. He knows the finer points of that law and why it is the way it is. And he's explaining that to the people. Again, when you have this background information, the scriptures become more alive to you and your understanding of them. Now, many scholars believe that these oral traditions began when the Jews came out of the Persian captivity and went back to the land of Israel and built a new temple, that they believe that is the genesis of this oral tradition that was passed down from generation to generation until we get to the time of Jesus. Now, even the apostles talk about this tension. And I want to go to one final scripture. It's over in Titus. And I'm going to read it to you there. In Titus chapter 1, I'm going to pick it up in verse 10. Notice what it says here. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. So who are these he's referring to, those of the circumcision? These were the people, when you go back to Acts 15 and you see there was this disagreement over how to understand circumcision. Should this be this physical act that we should make the Gentile believers do? The church came to the conclusion that they did not have to make the Gentiles go through this act because the law of circumcision was understood differently now. If you read your New Testament, it was now a circumcision of the heart. And when people repented, got baptized, and got God's Holy Spirit, they were then dedicated to God, just like in the Old Testament, through the physical act of circumcision. But notice further what it says here in Titus. If I drop down to verse 14, it says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. So again, these of the circumcision group, these who were part of that oral law tradition, he calls their beliefs Jewish fables, traditions of men, and he didn't want the people to follow those traditions of men. So we see this tension continuing in the church after the time of Jesus, as some of the people who believed in Jesus had this idea about the oral law, and many of those who understood what Jesus was really saying knew that that was not the way to go. I hope we've learned something on today's program about this vast subject of God's law. There are many facets of this we can get into, and please get those items. Get the CD, get that pamphlet to learn more about God's law. But in conclusion, remember, the written law of God is still in effect. It does matter. What Jesus was trying to show, as we've seen today, is this oral tradition that the Pharisees were teaching, these added laws, these additional laws, did not have to be kept by the believers in Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us on another edition of the Armor of God. Remember, always put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.